This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God, just as we prayed this morning that we might inwardly digest your word, now as we reflect upon the word you have given us, may we be so moved to not only inwardly digest, but to share your word and good works with the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Please be seated. This is the normal Sunday when we have our bishop's visitation. And thanks to the wonder of technology, hopefully our live stream is now working, as we had some glitches as we began. But we are blessed to have virtually our bishop, Bishop Peter Eaton, to deliver our sermon today.
Kate and I are so sorry not to be able to be with you in person today for my annual visitation. Like most bishops, I am not participating in regular in-person worship or in other in-person activities until we are much clearer about the pandemic and a vaccine and effective treatments. Mostly because we bishops do not want to be unwitting conduits of infection. In our work as bishops, we are normally in many different communities, in many different parts of our diocese, interacting with all kinds of people. And we recognize that to do this work in person at this time is essentially very risky. To be unable to participate in in-person worship and other in-person gatherings is hard for all of us. And I do want to thank your rector and clergy, your parish and school leadership, and all those who have worked so hard to support and sustain your common life during these last 8 months. This has not been easy work, and they deserve our gratitude. Please continue to pray for your parish and school, and please continue to pray for all those who are suffering from the ongoing pandemic in any way. We also pray for those who are working tirelessly to find a vaccine and effective treatments so that we may live with as little risk as possible. And please remember that I pray for you and give thanks to God for you every day. This morning in our gospel reading, we hear again the famous story of the talents. It can be a confusing and not very pleasant parable, especially at the end, and Jesus has some harsh words to say, words that we do not normally associate with Jesus or the Father. But we can remember one thing as we read this story. Jesus often uses quite strong language to get our attention. We're not meant to understand this language literally, and so we do not believe that God will throw anyone into outer darkness, but we are meant to sit up and take notice. And I'm reminded of a very famous story about the reading of this parable. One day, it was the gospel at the church where an elderly man was sitting listening, and he couldn't hear very well, and so he spoke rather loudly. And at the end of the reading of the gospel, he turned to the person next to him and said, "But I don't have any teeth." To which the response was, "Teeth will be provided." What is Jesus trying to tell us in this parable? There are three things to notice to help us make sense of all of this. First of all, the landowner is going away, and no one knows when he will return. In the meantime, he gives his entire wealth into the hands of three slaves. In and of itself, to have slaves in management positions was not at all uncommon in antiquity. Many slaves held quite senior positions of trust and responsibility, in both wealthy households and in government. But the landlord gave those three slaves everything he had, all that he most valued. He entrusted to them, and clearly he had expectations about how they should deal with his riches while he was gone, since he made some judgments about how much of his riches each slave should have. So the landholder gives his slaves everything, holding nothing back. Then we notice that the landowner is away for a significant period. We do not know how long the landowner is gone. The story only says a long time. But clearly, it is long enough for some substantial business to be done, for two of the slaves end up making a great deal of money on their initial investments. And any good investment, as we know, takes time to mature and bear fruit. So we see that there is a considerable period of waiting involved in this parable. And the third thing to notice is that two of the slaves went straight out to get on with business, while the third slave was afraid and did nothing. So there is in this story both risk and its frequent companion, fear. Now, as we read this parable and try to make some sense of it, we know that there is nothing that we can do to earn God's love. We know that God has loved us from before the beginning of time, and that nothing can separate us from the love of God, especially nothing that we may do or may not do. And we learn this great truth from the entire span of the scriptures. We are not unlike the slaves in our parable this morning. Jesus has left us all his wealth, the wealth of his teachings, the wealth of the story of his life, the wealth of his poor ones and all those who are dearest to him, the wealth of the sacraments, the wealth of the life of the church, the wealth of his truth, the wealth of his love. Like the landowner, Jesus has held nothing back from us. And like the slaves in the parable, we too await our master's return. Like the slaves who do not know when the master will be coming back, neither do we. And so we are waiting. And like the slaves, we have a choice. We can, like two of them, work while we wait, putting all the wealth that Jesus has entrusted to us to work for the widening of the kingdom of God. Or we can, like the third slave, wait in fear, unwilling to take any risks, unwilling to try anything new, unable to act, hoping only to be able to keep the wealth of God that we know so well safe for ourselves. We are given grace in this life to bear fruit for God. That is the point of our baptism. That is the point of receiving communion. That is the point of our participation in all the other sacraments and in the common life of the church. To be given the grace of God to bear fruit for God. We're given gifts that will help others as well as ourselves grow into more faithful and fruitful sons and daughters of God. We can help those who want a deeper relationship with God to find that relationship in this life. We can create a community of love and service to make our world a better, more humane place where we are living. Or, if we already live in a community like that, we can think and work to make its embrace even broader or more effective. We know that God loves us, but we also know that God has expectations of us. God receives us where we are, but he doesn't leave us there. God loves us and yet knows that we are capable of divine acts of kindness, generosity, love, and service. God knows that we are capable of being like Jesus, who in his life showed us what is possible if we act together with God for the good of everyone. We are, of course, not just waiting for Jesus's return. We're living in a profound time of waiting in this COVID season and in this post-election season, too. We are waiting for an end to the pandemic, for a vaccine, for effective treatments, for a time when we can gather together safely in person, not just for worship, but for all the other human activity that feeds our hearts, our minds, our souls, our bodies. And we're waiting for the election to be finally settled so that our nation may be able to move forward. And more personally, we may be waiting for other things too, like a medical test, or news about a grandchild, or some other deeply concerning matter that is long delayed in its resolution. The challenge of the parable of the talents is this. What are we going to do while we are waiting? For whatever it is we are waiting, whether it's the coming again of Jesus or the end of the pandemic. What is the church doing while we are waiting? Can we see, even in this unprecedented time of COVID and political uncertainty, when we are waiting for a new day, fresh opportunities to put Jesus's wealth to work? Those opportunities are all around us, and we cannot be defined or constrained by fear so that we fail to act. Today our gospel reading, therefore, is really an encouragement and not a threat. God is saying to us, I have given you all the riches of my grace, so that you may be vessels of that grace and love to all. If we do this, these riches will increase as we grow more deeply in our relationship with the risen Lord. And as through us, more and more people come to know God and live the values of God's kingdom in this life. And so, may we all be filled with God's love, so filled with God's love that it spills out of us to others, that they too may know that God loves them and that his promises are true. Amen.